Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the March 2024 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by continuing Amateur Radio Insights by Kirk Kleinschmidt and T0Z, contesting during solar cycle peaks. A week or so before the contest, I worked a Japanese ham on 10-meter SSB one evening. He was so loud and clear that he sounded like he was on the local repeater. I was running 10 watts peak envelope power, while he was running a kilowatt. I was 5x9, while he was 5x infinity. We weren't going over the tippy top of the North Pole, no flutter, but the death ray was pointed a titch west of due north. He mentioned that he had an 80-foot tower and a 6-element monobander near Tokyo. I told him that I was surprised that he could find a way to put up such a tower in Tokyo when he elaborated. He was actually at his vacation home, 150 kilometers northwest of Tokyo, on a mountain ridge that was 1.5 kilometers above average terrain. We each had ICOM 7300s, but he had a 5,000-foot tower. He spoke flawless English, so I told him that he was the loudest JA I'd heard in the past 20 years. True. He politely demurred, a cultural norm, but his QTH confession spoke volumes. I speak flawless Japanese, but my vocabulary extends to only about 40 words. His English is QRO, while my Nihongo is QRP. If you're in the lost generation, HF propagation is back and will likely play nice for 2 to 5 more years, so get busy. You can go back to FT8 when the solar cycle sags again, which it will. Speaking of Asia, although the number of new JA hams has long fallen off a cliff, Japanese hams still have a dominant presence in the region. For every Korean ham I hear, for example, I might hear 300 Japanese hams. Heck, even Chinese hams, once quite rare, seem more available than their HL counterparts. With the likes of Samsung, Kia, and Hyundai, I wonder why. The same goes for the Philippines. Where are our DU brothers and sisters? I messed up, but still celebrated. Unlike my misspent youth, switching up my sleep cycle put me into a tizzy, so I missed the Sunday morning 8 a.m. to noon demolition derby on 10 meters. By the time I got to the rig, it was noon, so my ultimate goal was probably impossible, but still. When I went to bed the night before, I had worked 77 entities. But unless the rare European stations suddenly showed up, Vatican City, Svalbard, Albania, Franz Josef, Liechtenstein, Shetland, the Orkneys, etc., or propagation to Africa proper made an appearance, although I wouldn't run out of stations to work, which would have run up my score, getting to 100 entities would have only been barely possible. Remember, I only needed 100 QSOs to work 100 entities. Participation or propagation from the Caribbean also seemed off. South America, too, save for the many, many hams who operate from Brazil. Further, I missed Cuba and Venezuela because the stations there just couldn't hear me. I have experienced this anomaly before. Who knows what their noise levels are? I had a lot of interruptions Sunday afternoon, and I was fading mentally. So when I pulled the plug, with an hour of the contest period remaining, I had worked 4U1UN, United Nations headquarters in New York, as number 87. Honestly, I was a bit disappointed that I had missed out on Sunday morning, but I was thrilled that I had worked 87 DXCC entities in a single contest with QRP and a pair of unassuming antennas. The first time I worked DXCC, as a teenager in 1978 or so, it took me a bit more than a year. I haven't tallied it yet, but when added to my regular log, I can't not have LOTW DXCC QRP, which I have been close to finishing for a couple of years, having decided to start from scratch, just because. Other than on 80 meters, where I have 40 or so, I'm closer than not to 5-band DXCC QRP, which is a lot more difficult. So, my 87 in a weekend experience, while falling a bit short of the grand prize, was ultimately thrilling and quite helpful. With it, I expect to be over the 100 mark on 15 and 10, down to a handful on 20, with most future effort required on 40, reasonably doable, and 80, much harder without a four-square array. Amateur radio is a broad, inclusive umbrella hobby with many slivered pursuits within. I began my ham radio journey as a shortwave DXer, and I have always enjoyed contesting mostly as an avenue to focus my attention and efforts and to collect certificates and awards wallpaper. I will focus on awards in a future column, but today I'd like you to consider or reconsider the benefits of amateur radio contesting. Even if, or especially if, you're not playing to win in a conventional sense, but playing to the beat of your own ham radio drummer, casual contesting is fantastic training on many fronts. Intensely casual contesting. During any major contest, hundreds or thousands of hams are fully participating, meaning that they're in the contest and intend to submit a log to the contest sponsor and hopefully win an achievement plaque or certificate. Many more ops participate casually with no intent to submit a log. But why? Well, the most important reason is the availability of stations. Take the old adage, you can't work 'em if you can't hear 'em, and add, you can't work 'em if they're not on the air. When there's propagation, the stations will be there during the contest period, and for many, that's the only time you'll ever hear them. As a beginning ham, I wanted to cover my shack walls with QSL cards, awards, and contest achievement certificates, and I began my quest to earn Worked All States and DXCC by listening to QSOs and determining each op's QTH by ear. If I heard a call sign from a needed state or country, I called the op after his existing QSO was complete and tried my best to work the new one. In the beginning, when just about every state or DXCC entity was a new one, this worked well. But soon I started looking for faster ways to find less available states and entities. To put Wyoming in the log, I checked into the Colorado-Wyoming slow-speed CW net one night after supper. That got me Wyoming and Montana, bonus. I scoured the ARRL net directory, now free and online at ARRL.org/ARRL-net-directory, but no longer super useful, looking for geographically targeted nets that I could access. To put North and South Dakota into the log, I checked into the PicoNet All Day Watch, which unfortunately isn't actually all day anymore. It's more like the PicoNet 1-hour watch, but closed during the summer. On 75 meters until I heard stations checking in from Fargo and Sioux Falls. Even in neighboring Minnesota, Dakota hams can be hard to find. The PicoNet 3925 group seems to have migrated exclusively to Facebook, which is unfortunate. My progress was slow but steady overall, but using those time-tested methods paid big dividends in the long run. Listening to hundreds of QSOs is never a bad thing for beginning ops, and it's still something I recommend to this day. But there are much faster ways to qualify for achievement awards and to put contest certificates on the wall. The fastest, of course, is contesting itself. The true wallpaper gathering power of contesting didn't really sink in until I worked a few rounds of the ARRL sweepstakes, the DX contests, and field day. Compared to the less efficient methods I started with as a kid, simply working a contest or two, even casually, can slingshot your totals in a day or a weekend, as detailed above. Several years ago, a beginning ham friend worked 40 states on 6 meters, and 96 of the 100 grid squares required to qualify for the VUCC award. In one weekend, during the ARRL VHF QSO party. And he had made fewer than 20 QSOs in his entire ham radio career prior to working that contest. Those totals might have taken years to accomplish without participating in contests. Yes, propagation at 50 megahertz had to also be present during the contest, and it was. If propagation is there, but you're not, no joy. Even during the sunspot cycle doldrums as experienced from roughly 2003 to 2022, with 100 watts and a dipole, you could work all 50 states in a single ARRL sweepstakes weekend. And even if you only worked 46 states, that's still an amazing outcome. Working DXCC in a single weekend is doable during solar cycle peaks, which we haven't yet hit this cycle. And working 50 DXCC entities, half of DXCC, is still a reasonable weekend jaunt. You have to learn how to participate, of course, but that goes for any pursuit. Don't worry if your killer instinct is a bit rusty. Although frantic at times, radio contesting is friendly and accommodates all levels of participation. You can work as many or as few stations as you want in pursuit of your personal goals, without turning in a log and officially competing. Just do your own thing, and if you want to turn in an official log, do that too. With plenty of free contest logging software and internet-based log submissions, the submitting part today is easier than ever before. I use N3FJP's suite of general and contest logging software. It's easy to use, well-supported, and priced right. Typically, radio contests are on-air events in which hams work as many different stations as they can in a defined period of time. Often a weekend, but there are plenty of contests and sprints that last only a few hours. Depending on the particular contest, a premium is placed on working stations in different geographical regions, states, countries, ARRL sections, CQ magazine zones, grid squares, islands, etc., or stations with different call sign prefixes, KA0AAA, KB0AAA, KC0AAA, and so on. The regions or differing prefixes are called multipliers, and in a simplified sense, contest scores are determined by multiplying the number of two-way contacts, QSOs, by the number of multipliers, subject to the fine points of each particular contest, of course. When the dust settles, the entrants with the highest scores, there are usually many categories of competition, such as power level, number of station operators, bands used, and so on, receive certificates or plaques and have their scores listed in ham magazines and on websites. Everyone competes together, but like a large marathon, participants are only competing against others in specific categories, if they're officially competing at all. Regardless of band and mode, contest operating is fast, with typical SSB, CW, or digital QSOs taking only a few seconds. Ops exchange signal and location reports, and perhaps consecutive serial numbers or power level identifiers. Typically, chatting and rag-chewing is frowned upon. Contest QSOs are all about working stations as fast as possible. Be brisk and stay focused. Contesting might seem overwhelming at first, but you'll get the hang of it once you give it a go. Between the two, ARRL and CQ magazine sponsor about 25 major contests each year. But there are hundreds of additional contests spread throughout the year. Many ham radio websites have contest listings, tips, and other useful information. Start with WA7BNM's premier contest info site at contestcalendar.com. And also, check out ARRL.org/contesting and contesting.com. The League's National Contest Journal, NCJ, is available each month in digital format to all ARRL members. The ARRL operating manual has plenty of detailed information on the fine points of contesting. If you're lucky, you can find a copy at your local library. K1DG's Amateur Radio Contesting for Beginners is also recommended. The nature of competitive sport drives some hams to use gigantic antennas, amplifiers, and top-of-the-line transceivers. There's no need to be intimidated by this, because you won't be competing against these heavy hitters until you're a heavy hitter yourself. Actually, these big gun stations benefit you greatly because they need your QSO, and they have the exotic hardware and experience to dig your signal out of the noise. These mega stations really work for you, so enjoy the fact that they're there and get started. I am constantly amazed by the skill and capabilities of dedicated contest operators the world over. And I'm amazed that they can copy my puny, weak QRP signal when they themselves, running a kilowatt to a big stack of antennas, are barely audible on my end of the QSO. Tidbits. Not every competition is a globe-spanning cacophony. There are dozens of smaller, more focused contests throughout the year, including state QSO parties, which are about as friendly and laid-back as they come. Once you've worked a couple of these, the larger contests won't seem so intimidating. The low end of any contest subband is probably jammed with big gun stations and thousands of other stations calling them. To enjoy the contest in a less frantic environment, move up in frequency, even if you have to move quite a bit higher than the designated frequencies for a particular contest. For example, on 20 meter CW, 14.0 to 14.04 MHz will be filled with wall-to-wall signals, but 14.05 to 14.08 MHz will be much less frenzied, yet still productive, and 14.08 to 14.1 will still produce QSOs, but at an even slower pace. In many RTTY contests, you will now make QSOs as high as 14.14 MHz. Once you get comfortable and get your contesting chops built up a bit, you can slide down in frequency and battle it out. To experience contesting in a friendly, supportive environment, participate in a local field day effort or find local hams through clubs or other means who regularly participate in contests. This is a great way to get your feet wet without having to go it alone. Technically, field day isn't a contest, but in reality, it's a contest with a built-in cookout. As a Morse beginner, working lots of stations in major contests can be brutal as speeds start high and get higher. You can work slower speed stations in the upper parts of the CW subbands, but not all of the stations you might want to work will show up there running at slow speeds. The good news is, because contest QSOs aren't rag chews, the information exchanged is limited and can be anticipated. My rag chew speed, for example, is 15 to 20 words per minute, but my contest speed ranges up to 40 or even 45 words per minute for anticipated contest exchanges only. If boosting your Morse performance just isn't on your agenda, you can contest an SSB, which has reduced RF performance compared to Morse and may require better antennas, or RTTY. RTTY contesting is easy and seems quite casual when compared to Morse, and although there are other Digimode contesting ops throughout the year, old-fashioned RTTY still reigns supreme on the contest stage. It works fine with low power, even QRP. As with any other Digimode, you need to figure out how to run AFSK on your particular radio. But when you do, RTTY contesting is barely a stretch. I use N3FJP's contest logging software with N7YG's Digimode add-on. You can also integrate MMTTY and FLDigi. With RTTY contesting, setting up your station hardware and software is more challenging than working the contest. Ever wonder how many hams live in Montana, New Hampshire, or the Canary Islands? During major contests with decent propagation, you'll hear 1 or 17 stations from hard-to-find states and DXCC entities. With this crazy signal density, everybody's on. You could spend days looking for Hawaii or Alaska to finish your Worked All States award. Or you could work them both several times each in one afternoon in any of a dozen contests each year. The same goes for most DXCC entities, too. By design, contest QSOs are quick, quick, quick. So focus on how fast you can rack up juicy contacts and save any friendly banter for after the contest. Rag-chewing is to commuting as contesting is to racing. You can enjoy both, but not at the same time. Major contests usually start on Friday evenings local time and run through Sunday evening local time. Competition on Friday nights can be insane. As an average Joe, you'll hear the juicy stations, but you may not work them until a few hundred or thousand other ops already have them in the log. On Sunday afternoon, though, the big juicy stations will often be begging for you to call them. You'll almost feel sad when you hear, "Anyone, anywhere, this is Papa 49 X-Ray calling CQ contest," repeated over and over. When you call them, however, you'll have a new one in your logbook. For a variety of reasons, most ops can't stay up all night to play on the radio, and if you can, competition is greatly reduced. Patiently working the contests from 1 a.m. through 5 a.m. local time is one of my secret weapons for HF contests. It's mostly useless for VHF contests. Propagation will shift to the lower bands, but the lack of competition can make it very profitable. During solar cycle lows, low band activity and competition increase. So, feel free to save the low bands for a few years until you polish off the high bands while they're awake. Contesting during solar cycle peaks, which we now enjoy against all odds, is a whole lot better than contesting through the solar doldrums. So if you have been mostly ignoring this aspect of amateur radio, now is the perfect time to test the water. And now, Amateur Radio Satellites by Keith Baker, KB1SF, VA3KSF, KB1SF at yahoo.com. The looming problem of space junk. In my last few installments of the column, I've been highlighting the many ways one can get in on the fun of operating on our fleet of amateur radio satellites. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.